21, Section 2. Vancha kalpatarabhyascha kripa sindhubhya evacha patitanam pavnebhyo vaishnavibhyo namo namaha. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya.
August 13, 2021. Ministry of Education Symposium.
Namaste.
Talk on Philosophy of Education.
Nirvishesha shunyavadi paschatideshya tarine. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivas Adi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. So we'd like to formally begin this session for Biplava 2021 Session 2 by hearing first from His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada.
He never says these degrees. No, degrees are artifacts. That is upadhi. Education is to become upadhi less, sarvapadhi bilinmukta. But they are increasing upadhi. Discontent, concern. Education means giving them knowledge of how to read and write. I think it is a knowledge and not an education. Education is something different that trains up your mind how to think, separate grain from the chaff.
Education, this is it. Sadhana Brahma Dikya. This is it.
That's what I mean to say. You must know how to separate grain from the chaff. In a way, I say. That is the real education.
Bhagavad Gita begins education in a structure. Immediately he puts forward that you are not this body. There is a beginning of it. Where is such education? Everyone is saying, you are this body, you are India, you are America, you are Hindu, you are Muslim. Where is education? Bhagavad Gita says, you are not this body. That is the beginning of education. And now, the education means, be nationalist. Drive away. And somebody,
passport, bank, khalsa karta.
No, why passport? Even in our country, Mahatma Gandhi was also infected. Quit India.
No, he did not mean quit India. He meant you quit your method of ruling.
Actually, it was the exact word.
Hare Krishna. Thank you. So, for all the participants, if there is anybody who would like to hear this presentation or the conference symposium in Russian, so we are experimenting with and we have made a simultaneous translation available in Russian, and His Grace Swarup Damodar Prabhu will be providing that service. You can click on interpretation and select Russian, and you'll be transferred to a channel where you will be able to see the speaker, see the slides, but hear the translation from Swarup Damodar Prabhu in Russian. So on that note, I'd like to welcome our first speaker for this session, Her Grace Mother Urmila, standing educators within our movement. She's a mother to many, especially to me, has always given me wise counsel on many occasions. It's a pleasure to have you, and I really was so keen to have you in the very first session because you're going to speak on a topic which lays the foundation, helps us broaden our perspective on education. So I invite Her Grace Mother Urmila to share with us and help us understand philosophy of education. Over to you.
Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine. Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pacharane Nirvasesa Samnivadi Paskachyade Satarane. So, having a philosophy of education is essential. Whether we're having a homeschool, whether we're running an academic school for children, whether we're running a Shastra program for adults, or even if we're teaching a morning or evening Shastra class. What do we mean by a philosophy of education? We mean a description of principles upon which learning and teaching rest. It delineates what education is, its purpose, the relationship between education and society, the definition of a learner's needs and identity, the relationship between the learners and the teachers, and the process of learning. Well, okay, but why should we articulate this? Why should we put into writing, put into speech, speak about, figure out, spend time on actually defining a philosophy of education? This is really a similar question as to why human beings should try to figure out a philosophy of life or a philosophy of origins. We can think about how Srila Prabhupada dedicated a lot of time and energy into defeating atheistic ideas of evolution, that life evolves from matter by chance without the hand of some kind of intelligent being directing creation and maintenance. What does it matter what one thinks about origin? It matters because such thoughts about basic philosophy of life guide everything that we do. And this is true if we're looking more narrowly at educational attempts. Everything that happens in an educational program, including the class I'm giving right now, including the Bhagavatam class at your local temple, including the Bhakti Vriksha group or the Namahata group or the Sunday school group, every activity that goes on, every material that you use, every way of management and communication implies a philosophy of education. In other words, there's a philosophy of education already there. Now, when we have a clearly articulated philosophy of education, when we take the time to say, now, what is our philosophy of education? What do we believe is true? And then we apply it, and that step can't be overemphasized. Then you have a clear learning culture and an environment for, if it's a big enough operation, for the staff, if it's with children, for the parents, for the students, for the community. And research shows that schools who have high academic achievement, of course, the research, there's very little research on schools that achieve high spiritual achievement. When I was working on my doctorate, one of the challenges was to find empirical research on faith schools and on trying to measure faith results from faith schools. But at least if we look at empirical research that shows high academic achievement, you'll find that there the teachers, the administrators, even the staff have a clear link between what they're doing and their philosophy of education. Now, for the majority of educational programs, whether in a devotee society such as ISKCON or in the world in general, never openly recognize or examine their philosophy of education. This is similar to a situation where most of the people of the world never really think about their philosophy of life. I remember once speaking to one person who's not a practicing devotee of Krishna, And this person said to me, I have my own spirituality. I don't need Hare Krishna spirituality. And I said, oh, what is your system of spirituality? And the person said, let me think about it. And maybe a day later, the person came back and said, my system of spirituality is to be a good person. Of course, that just removes it one step, because then you have to define, instead of defining spirituality, you have to define what is goodness. Which, of course, if we understand spirituality as Vishuddha Sattva, then goodness and spirituality are the same thing. So he really didn't answer anything at all. But this is typical for people in the world. And they are engaged in whatever they are doing, as Prabhupada would say, eating, sleeping, mating, and defending, without ever thinking about what is their philosophy behind what they're doing. Unless we become proud, in most educational systems, including in the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, the same thing is happening. We have people giving classes on Shastra, we have Bhakti Shastri, Bhakti Vaibhava programs, we have home programs, we have schools, we have Sunday schools, and no one ever says, what's our philosophy of education? Have we ever articulated it? Now, in a large number of schools that have various implied or stated philosophies of education, some come in conflict with one another. Right? So often you'll have one teacher who has one philosophy of education, unarticulated, another teacher who has another, maybe the leader has another. Right? Another problem that we run into is where people have a stated philosophy of education, but they don't take that step and apply it. So I spent a year as a head teacher, a principal in a government school, 450 kids. I was the assistant. I wasn't the head, I was the assistant head. And they had a very clear philosophy of classroom management and discipline. Very clear. But they didn't teach it to the teachers. So they taught it to the teachers, whatever, 5 years ago, and as new teachers come in, they didn't give them any training in it, nor did they make sure that what was going on in the classrooms was in sync with their philosophy of classroom management. I remember seeing this with science education as well. They said, we have a system of inquiry science. And I thought, wow, that's great. So I was put in charge of the elementary science program. And I noticed that superficially, the program seemed to be in sync with this term, inquiry science, but actually it was something completely different. We should keep in mind that we are in the world of Maya, that which is not. So it is extremely common for people either to not articulate their philosophy, it's just something implied that they're not even really fully aware of what they believe, or people may be aware of what they believe, but there's conflict, so there's like a mishmash. Or they're very clear on what they believe, but their actions are not in sync with what they believe. So what is very rare, but I would suggest what we should aspire to in our devotional society, is to have a clear understanding of what is the philosophy of education from Guru Sadhu Shastra. To make that philosophy of education very public, and then for that philosophy to be very evident in practically every aspect of our educational program. So evident that somebody just by watching and observing can pick up a lot of what that philosophy of education is. If that is done, the educational program is far more likely to achieve its purpose. I mean, just think about this. If we don't know where we're going, if we don't know how to measure success, if we don't know how we hope to achieve success, what is the likelihood we'll actually achieve success? Also, if we don't have some shared understanding, there's going to be a lot of conflict that will appear to be over specific, detailed, superficial things, but will actually be a conflict on a deeper level about what we feel the philosophy is. Srila Prabhupada speaks a lot about how in the spiritual world, people have all different ways, the devotees, the pure devotees in the spiritual world, have all different ways of trying to satisfy Krishna. But they have a unified understanding, and therefore there's no malice. There's none of the conflict that we experience in this world. Again, the research shows that school leaders who are most likely to accomplish their mission are those who frequently assess whether and to what extent the philosophy of education is evident in the materials, words, and behavior of everyone involved in the educational project. That means the person cleaning the bathrooms as well, my dear friends. It doesn't just mean the teachers, or it doesn't just mean the principals. So what's affected by the philosophy of education? The materials we use. How are they structured? What are they about? The methods of teaching and learning that are used. I mean, a really simple example here is, do we use just lecture? Do we use interactive? How much do we use application? The content of what is being taught. This is a huge factor in philosophy of education. Because there's what we say we teach, what we actually teach, which is never exactly the same, and shouldn't be, because we should modify our teaching for the audience. What's called the hidden curriculum, what we teach indirectly, what we teach through our rules, our system of etiquette, our dress code, the pictures on our walls, the illustrations in our materials, the quality of our materials, and what we don't teach. And what speaks loudly are the things that we don't teach and our hidden curriculum. So we have what's called in educational jargon the planned curriculum, the taught curriculum, the hidden curriculum, and the null curriculum. And all of that speaks to our philosophy of education. The goals and process of student discipline and training, the methods and substance of teacher training, the relationships within the school, the relationships between the teacher and the student. If it's a school for children, the relationship between the teachers and the parents, the relationship between the teachers and the administrator, the relationship between the staff and the teachers, the relationship with the government, and the various policies of the school. Now, many years ago, working in London, we put together a philosophy of education based primarily on the Sri Aurobindo Upanishad, to some extent on the Bhagavad Gita, and to some extent on Srila Prabhupada's letters and conversations and purports and so forth. Now, the reason we chose the Isha Upanishad is because it's part of the Ayurveda, and we wanted something that could be authoritative even for people who weren't members of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. We wanted to be able to say, hey, this is something that's authoritative for anyone who follows the Vedas. So we're going to go just very briefly, because we only have 10 minutes here, we're going to go just very briefly through what we were able to find is the philosophy of education as given in the Sri Aurobindo Upanishad. The first question is, what should individual learners achieve? And we came up with four categories. What they should achieve in relation to God, in relation to the world, in relation to others, and in relation to themselves. So in relation to God, a love and attachment for the personal form of God, Bhagavan, and all his natural representatives, such as Guru. To get realized knowledge of God, not just theoretical knowledge of God. I mean, an example of application is I visited one ISKCON Sunday school, met with the teachers, and they said, we're teaching Divyagyan. Oh, how are you teaching Divyagyan? They said, well, we're studying the story of Dhruva, and then the students take a multiple choice exam. I said, a multiple choice exam is not testing Divyagyan. So you had a disconnect between a real philosophy of education and what was going on. Or you had some unarticulated philosophy of education, that knowledge is simply rote learning. So Ishopanishad preaches realized knowledge of God. And then service to God, service to Bhagavan, Sri Krishna, in the ninefold bhakti. And the mood of knowing that Bhagavan, Sri Krishna, is our best friend. And just think for a moment. We've just mentioned four things about philosophy of education. Imagine love and attachment for the personal form of God, Bhagavan, and all his natural representatives, including those who teach about him. Realized knowledge of God. Service to Bhagavan and ninefold bhakti. And the mood of knowing that Bhagavan is the best friend. Imagine if that was clearly obvious in every single one of our educational endeavors in ISKCON. And what about in relation to the world? To be discriminating between akarma, karma, and vikarma. To know the difference between ordinary action, forbidden action, and free action. To use the world in Krishna's service, yukta vairagya, without personal attachment. And, interestingly enough, from the Ishopanishad, to know the details of the material creation, to know vidya and avidya, to know sambhavat and asambhavat. This particular area, in my experience, had been, in the early part of our Hare Krishna movement, severely neglected by a misunderstanding of some of Srila Prabhupada's instructions. So that we were training children only in devotional life and not to be expert in general. It's interesting, Srila Prabhupada gave instructions in 1976 when he was speaking from the seventh canto of the Bhagavatam about Brahmacharya and Gurukula. He talked about how a devotee is daksha, that he should not be callous towards knowledge of the material world, but that he should know something of everything and everything of something. And he gave the example of Raghunath Das Goswami. So the next area of philosophy of education of what learners should achieve is in relation to others. Respect and love for all living beings in all species of life. This is where Srila Prabhupada talked about a society based on love and trust. So again, that this should be pervading all of our educational efforts. And then in relationship to self, the goal of learning is to understand and to experience oneself as an eternal soul different from the body. We had just had that quote from Srila Prabhupada. He was saying, don't increase your upadis. Get rid of all your upadis. Yeah? Participation in a greater faith community. And developing, this is an area I feel has been neglected, developing individual talents and inclinations according to one's swadharma to prepare for future occupations and family responsibilities. My own personal conviction is that this aspect of the philosophy of education that pervades the Shastras, that pervades Srila Prabhupada's instructions, has not been clearly articulated nor applied. In the second canto of the Bhagavatam, Srila Prabhupada says, Gurukul is training in values of life along with specific training for a livelihood. You know, people like to talk about Varnashram Dharma, but what is the essential principle of Varnashram Dharma? One of the essential principles of Varnashram Dharma is that we link our nature with our livelihood. And we link our nature with our service. So to help people find what is their nature, identify what is their nature, and to use that in the service of the Lord, and to use that for their livelihood. And to help people identify this. Not just, you know, something needs to be done and you're warm and breathing, you should do it. And this would mean from the very beginning, we start to assess what are people's nature And we train them in the dharma of their nature. And we train them how to use that. As Srila Prabhupada said, everyone has some extraordinary talent. And to serve Krishna with our extraordinary talent is successful life. The next big category of the philosophy of education is going beyond the individual. We just looked at four categories of a philosophy of education for the individual. But looking at philosophy of education for society. So how would educated people serve society according to the Ishopanishad philosophy of education? Through service, through nonviolence, through character, and through peace and harmony. Through service. Interestingly enough, in Ishopanishad, Srila Prabhupada in the Ishavasya principle talks about contributing to society through social, political, communal, and altruistic activities dovetailed with service to Bhagavan Krishna. This would mean preparing for a society where every aspect of society is dovetailed with the Lord. Nonviolence. That there would be no more violence between the powerful and the less powerful. That the powerful stop exploiting those who are less powerful, whether it's humans and animals, whether it's rich and poor, whether it's racial, whether it's gendered, whatever it may be, that those who have positions of power protect those who have less power and care for them rather than exploit them. Having a good character, being satisfied with what one can achieve honestly and living in harmony with the environment. And then in terms of peace and harmony, having a vision of oneness of interests of all living beings and to appreciate the essence of all religions. The Ishopanishad also teaches us a lot about discipline. There's two different views of discipline among worldly people, whether are we all good and it just has to be brought out, or are we all bad and it just has to be disciplined. The Ishopanishad teaches that both are true. We need to be controlled. At the same time, our all good nature needs to blossom. It's interesting that within the Ishopanishad, and we could find this, of course, throughout the Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita, if we see how does Shastra teach? How does Krishna teach? How does Narada Muni teach? How does Srila Prabhupada teach? And that should inform our teaching methods. Certainly there's hearing from authority, examples of others. There's demonstrations. There's direct practical experience. And everyone learns progressively and developmentally and very nicely, as explained in Ishopanishad Mantra 10. The main way we learn is by developing qualities of sattva. Our philosophy of education tells us the teacher's qualifications. To have knowledge and practical skills in the subject, not just, oh, you chant Hare Krishna, you can teach anything. To have discrimination, to represent a guru, to love everyone. Prabhupada says, unless there's love between the student and the teacher, why should the student put themselves under the authority of the teacher? A mood of honesty. And the teacher's attitude towards learning is a deep relationship of love and trust. To focus on the child's experiential wisdom. We also see many different methods in the Ishopanishad. There's repetition, there's comparing and contrasting, there's going from immediate needs to deep spiritual needs, application of knowledge, high expectations, there's a lot of summarizing, there's a lot of recognizing effort, there's practice, setting clear objectives, there's analogies, there's a logical sequence. And learning is assessed both against a general criteria and individually. It's assessed through factual knowledge, through values, through respect, through service, through application, critical thinking, and effort. So that's just a brief summary of a philosophy of education. But I hope you can understand the value, the need of having a clearly articulated philosophy of education that is continually talked about, continually put out there so that people are aware of it, encapsulated so that people can understand it very clearly, and then actually applied. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.
Thank you. We have a question. We can take one question.
Sure, I didn't know if there was any time for questions.
Yes, Many devotees ask, what is their varna or nature? How can we guide them? Where should we direct them? This is Madhava Sevadas.
Ah, well, that would be another seminar or another group of seminars. I've actually been working for about 4 years with a co-author, Rukmini Devi Dasi, that's a.k.a. Dr. Ruchira Datta, on a book called Career Dharma, The Natural Art of Work. If you go to my YouTube channel, you'll see that I have a number of seminars on this very topic. And we hope to be developing this. Our hope, we're also working with some devotees in the Potomac Temple, is that we'll start setting up in each of our temples a system for guiding people in their career and in their service according to Shastra. So this is the ultimate thing that we are working for.
Thank you. So I encourage devotees to hear those series of seminars. I've also posted in the chat a link to the paper that Her Grace Urmila Mataji prepared, and that paper is available on the Ministry of Education website. So I encourage those who feel inspired now with this seminar to go and read the paper, which will possibly give us more details, allow us to refresh what we just heard from you. So thank you, Milan Mataji, for taking all the time and addressing us on this very important topic of philosophy of education. Needless to say, this is the foundation on which everything else is built. So we could not underscore this ever enough. There is so much more effort to be undertaken, and we hope that more devotees will come forward and collaborate and submit their own philosophy of education that they've gathered reading of Prabhupada's books. Thank you. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, and thank you so much to Mother Urmila for her address today on philosophy of education.